We'll see you at the theater.
Hey, back on Downtown, 4:30 on your Monday afternoon. It is time for us to talk some Bruins hockey. To do that, we welcome in our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How are we doing?
Doing well. We've missed you, my friend. It's been too long.
I know. It's been, what, since probably May or June, I think, if I had to guess. Lots changed since then, as we all know, but they're back on the ice, and I think that's the most important thing right now.
Yeah, no question about that, and off to a pretty good start, a couple of wins under their belt to begin the season. Did you think it might take them longer, and maybe we don't know yet, to put what happened last year behind them?
Yeah, I think it's still going to be a work in progress. We're going to see how they look against, you know, at the end of the month, you got games against Florida and Toronto, and I think that's going to be the real test for this team. But I'm seeing a really motivated group right now. I'm seeing a team that is ready to put it behind them, but in the best way possible. They all acknowledge what happened last year. They all acknowledge where they came up short. And, you know, they've really had in my opinion, the guys that have stuck around, you know, in what was an offseason of a lot of change, the guys that were part of that are really playing a determined brand of hockey. And I think they have really, since the jump in training camp, it was a much more physical training camp than I can really remember in a long time. Guys have really kind of taken it to heart that they want to be better than they were a year ago. And by that, I don't think they mean points record. They know that's going to be impossible, but just being a better, more complete team, ready for any and every challenge that's going to come their way, should they make the playoffs, you know, in April and May.
All right, for anybody who wasn't paying close attention in the offseason, from your perspective, who are a couple of the biggest additions to this roster?
Well, I think the biggest is James Van Riemsdyk, familiar with those of us in New England from his days at the Flyers, the Maple Leafs, and, of course, at UNH. You know, he's the guy who's going to be in their top power play. He's going to be, for the most part, we think, riding shotgun with Zacha and Pastrnak. That's going to change a little bit here on this West Coast trip, but overall, this is the guy they're relying on to chip in with about 15 to 20 goals this year. And, you know, he gets a good start, I think, on Saturday night after kind of being quiet in the home opener. But, you know, he's a guy they're going to lean on to score goals, especially some of those, you know, those grimier goals, those net front, those tips, those deflections. That's going to be his job. And you know, that's been a resource for a lot of production in years past. You go back to Nick Ritchie, had a career year on power play one. You go back to last year, Tyler Bertuzzi was phenomenal in that role. So it's an important role and one that they hope he can bring, you know, about 20 goals or so.
And then in terms of the departures, we know about the guys who left, and that left a little bit of a leadership vacuum. But how well do you think Brad Marchand will do stepping into that role of captain?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's done a great job. Like, I think they really follow his beat, you know, talking to players entering the season. They were really excited about him being captain because he's the guy who pushes you to be better. You know, he is in the gym. He's the first one in, the last one out. He's the first one on the ice, the last one off the ice. Like, he really takes it to heart. He loves what he does. And, you know, it's interesting. You talk to him, and he says it's a bit different than Bergeron in the sense that he's going to be a bit more in your face. He's also going to play, I think, a little bit longer than Bergeron, you know, health willing here. Marchand said that he has no plans on stopping anytime soon, and that his younger self would say to him, what are you, crazy? If he could retire before he's given the game everything he has. So I think it's really interesting that just personality-wise, it's a lot different, but it's the same kind of follow his lead, lead by example type of leadership that I think is going to go a long way for this team.
Well, what do you think Jim Montgomery learned from last season's both regular season and playoff experiences?
Well, I think he probably learned that if you have a recipe that works for 82 games, maybe don't abandon it right away. You know, I think if he could redo the playoffs, he probably doesn't shake up his defense as much as he did. He probably sticks with the goalie rotation, and he probably, you know, plays it safe with some of his guys, you know, maybe Krejci or Bergeron. You know, I still think you play those guys, but maybe you wait it out one more game instead of saying, yeah, right back into it. So I think that that's one thing he learned. He also learned, I think, that you got to be a bit more, I don't want to say confrontational, but a bit more nasty in the playoffs. You got to get your team, you know, aware of the stakes. I think that was something that kind of lingered for this team, that they didn't realize how much trouble they were in until it was too late, you know, and they weren't ready for the challenge. So I think mentally, he's got to, you know, figure out how to push those buttons to get them ready for game one.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. When you look at this team, you feel lucky that they've got this goalie tandem, certainly the best in the entire National Hockey League. Each goalie has had a game. Jeremy Swayman, 33 saves, although he did give up two goals to the Predators. That was a new experience for him, giving up goals to Nashville.
Yeah, definitely. He came in with two career shutouts and as many starts against them. I still thought a great performance. It was really interesting because I thought that game could have been slipping away from them. UC Saros was just phenomenal in the second period, was making some absolutely ridiculous saves, I thought, really carrying Nashville on a night where they didn't really have their A game, I thought. So at least not out of the gate or through the first, you know, two periods. But I thought that Swayman hit that point in the middle frame where he really matched his saves. He was really, I think, going toe for, you know, going save for save there with UC Saros, a dozen a caliber goaltender. So a great sign for Swayman, who I actually thought had a really good training camp as well.
Nice to see them get a power play goal in that game against Nashville as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a work in progress still. You know, even so, I think that their greatest weapon on that power play a year ago was Patrice Bergeron in the bumper. His release was just so quick that it would blitz teams and stun them. You know, Pavel Zacha, not the same kind of shooter. First of all, he's a lefty shot, so it's a bit different than Bergeron from you know, a righty in the bumper there. So they're going to have to work around that. They're going to have, as a result, they're going to have Charlie McAvoy be more of a shooting threat, Brad Marchand be more of a shooting threat. These guys are going to have to, I think, shoot with a bit more, you know, frequency than they did a year ago. So that's going to be worth watching, but I think the bumper is the biggest thing that you're going to watch right now and kind of notice a drop-off from last year. So it's about finding the proper plays and the proper ways to utilize Zaka's skill set, because it is different than Bergeron's, and they're going to need probably about, I would say, 10 games or so before you know what they have and what they can do well on that first power play unit.
As you take a look at the rest of the East, who's the team to beat right now?
You know, I think it's probably Carolina. They went out, they had a big offseason. You know, they added Dmitry Orlov. It gives them another shooting element on their back end. They already had a ton of those. They got Tony DeAngelo back, who I don't really think is a great defenseman, but he's put his best numbers up with Carolina. So if he can do that again, you know, that's a great addition for them. They still have Sebastian Aho, Jordan Staal, Toivo Teravainen. They're going to get Sechnikov back as well. Like they got a good roster, in my opinion. So they're still the team, but you can't sleep on, you know, the looks like the Devils have a lot of hype with their team. We'll see if it translates. Maple Leafs are scoring goals, but I think their goaltending and their defense is still the problem, as it's been for years now. So if I were a betting man, I'd say Carolina right now.
Ty, who's somebody on this Bruins roster that you think might be a pleasant surprise and exceed expectations this season?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be obvious to say Matthew Patra or Johnny Beecher, but I have to go with Jacob Lauko. He's remained a penalty-drawing menace. He puts the Bruins on the man advantage of more than anybody else on the roster in terms of when he's out there. And this is a guy who I think can move up the lineup. You know, we'll see if he does, but he has a skill set and the speed, I think, to be more than a fourth-line wing. So it's on him to be more than that, but I think ultimately this is a guy who could really kind of open some eyes this year, because he doesn't have anyone blocking his pathway like he did a year ago. You know, he was shuttled back and forth between Boston and Providence last year. He was one of those kind of guys. This year, it's his job to lose. And so far, I think he's done a great job of really hanging on to that and developing his game as a player. A lot of speed. I think there's more skill there. And again, if he can continue to draw penalties, that's going to be a valuable weapon for the Bruins.
What did you think of the all-centennial team? Were there any glaring omissions that you noted?
Yeah, you know, as someone who was part of the process, I knew we were going to have some hard decisions. I knew some good players were going to get left off the roster. You know, for me, I think that I don't think we got the goalies right, and that's fair. You know, it's majority rules kind of situation where, you know, a certain player, or player X, had to have a certain amount of votes. I got to tell you, I didn't vote for either one of the guys who made it. And even in the debate portion, I did not change my vote to any of those guys. Frankie Brimstick is a tremendous goaltender. Absolutely awesome. But Connie Thompson, he held records that to this day still holds the franchise. It took 80-something years for Tuca to beat his wins record. So I thought he was an automatic. And, you know, I tend to lean towards the modern era where Tim Thomas or Tuukka Rask is probably above Jerry Cheevers. And that's not a knock on Jerry Cheevers. It's just I think the game, you know, they had to backstop some worse teams than Jerry Cheevers did. And I think Tim Thomas, if not for him, the cup drought is still going.
Right.
Boston Bruins now. So I went with Tiny Thompson and Tim Thomas. Those were mine, too. Neither one of them made it, but this was going to be the case for somebody. You know, all 30 members of that committee, we all have players that didn't make it that we feel like should have made it.
Well, that's the best part of it, though, is gets those discussions going and get you talking about some of the all-time Bruins greats. It was a whole lot of fun just to go through the list. So thanks for your work on that, and great to talk with you as always, Ty. We appreciate you checking in. We'll do it again before too long.
Awesome. Sounds great. I can't wait.
Thank you, Ty. Ty Anderson, 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, talking Bruins with us here on Downtown.